Nothing lights us up more than helping people grow their wealth through multifamily investing in a way that actually feels good and makes sense where they are right now. That's exactly why we created the Where Am I Now Multifamily Assessment.
Here's the thing, no two journeys ever look the same. Maybe you're just starting out and simply curious about what's possible. Maybe you're dipping your toes into your really first passive investment, or maybe you're craving that behind the scenes peek at how it all works.
You might even be gearing up to go big and acquire your first deal, or ready to scale your portfolio to new heights by teaming up with strong partners who can help you grow like never before.
Instead of tossing you one size fits all advice, boring and not helpful, this assessment zooms in on your exact stage of growth.
It helps us get to know your goals, your challenges, and what gets you most excited about building wealth through multifamily investing, so we can hand over the tools, resources, and support that actually moves the needle for you.
The best part? It only takes a few minutes, but the clarity you walk away with, that's the magic. Think of it as your roadmap to what's next.
Ready? Head to kittysisters.com/whereaminow to get started. That's kittysisters.com/whereaminow.
I've been in the real estate business for 7 years and built a multifamily portfolio of over $400 million. But if I had to start completely over from scratch today, there are one concept you'll absolutely have to understand first. And I want to be clear with you, it has nothing to do with how much money you have in your bank account. It's not about being born into the right family or having the right connections. No, it's something entirely different. Something that once you see, you can't unsee.
Tommy
and I'm Nancy. Together we make the Kitty Sisters.
We're apartment syndicators, entrepreneurs, and educators with big dreams and a $300 million multifamily apartment portfolio.
We're into helping successful entrepreneurs and founders who have a passion for real estate and $100K to $5 million to invest, all aiming to turn their business profits into a lasting legacy through income-producing asset investment.
This is Cashflow Multipliers, a podcast dedicated to your financial freedom and the lifestyle you deserve.
Here's what matters. The real estate investing landscape has shifted so dramatically that even seasoned operators like us have had to rethink our strategies. If we were to start all over today, here are the critical mistakes we'd make absolutely sure to avoid. Mistakes that could quietly destroy your wealth if you are not careful. And what I'm about to share with you is exactly what separates the 1% of investors who thrive from the 99% who follow outdated advice from people who've never actually built real wealth in real estate. My name is Palmy Kitty, and along with my sister, we've built a $400 million real estate empire over the last 7 years. We weathered multiple market cycles, economic crashes, industry transformations, but I'm going to be completely honest with you. The real estate market today is evolving so rapidly that we're learning and adapting our strategies almost daily. The rules that made us successful 5 years ago, half of them don't work anymore. The strategies that work in 2022, they'll get you killed in 2025. Even the approaches we used last year have had to be completely overhauled. But here's what's critical. We're not just talking about this stuff. We're living it every single day. And that brings me to something really important. You need to be critical about who you follow and learn from. Ask yourself, are they actually doing the things that you want to do? Or are they just talking heads, chasing views, who don't know anything about the real world of multifamily investing? We're not general real estate investors. We're multifamily specialists who've built a $400 million empire just in 7 years by focusing exclusively on multifamily real estate. When people think multifamily investing, they think Kitty Sisters. While other investors are still trying to figure out single family strategies, we've been building multifamily systems. While they're teaching theory, we're sharing battle-tested strategies from the trenches. We're in the field, we're dealing with this every single day. When interest rate changes, it affects our deals immediately. When insurance costs spike, we feel it in our cash flow. When new regulations come out, we have to adapt our operations. This isn't theoretical for us, it's our reality. And if this is your first time watching our content, you need to understand we've been documenting the entire market transformation in real time. Every week, we're sharing exactly what we're seeing, what we're buying, and what we're avoiding. This isn't just one video, this is an ongoing masterclass in real-world multifamily investing. That's why today, I'm going to share you something we've never shared before. If we were to start completely over in 2025, knowing what we know now about where this market is heading, these are the exact mistakes we'd make sure we avoid at all costs. I'm going to reveal 5 critical categories of mistakes that are destroying investors right now. But more importantly, I'm going to show you exactly how we're navigating this completely transformed market and seeking to buy hundreds of millions of dollars in properties while others are paralyzed by uncertainty. The landscape has shifted so much that if you're not constantly evolving your approach, you're not just standing still, you're moving backwards. And in today's market, moving backwards means losing money fast. Every day you wait is another day someone else is buying the deal you should be buying. Category number one, market timing and strategy mistakes. Here's what's really interesting. People will never behave consistently in a way that is inconsistent with their programming. And most investors are still programmed with 2020 to 2022 thinking in a completely different market. Most people will never understand this level of thinking, but you're not most people, are you? The biggest mistakes we see investors make is combining FOMO from 2020-2021 era to emotional attachments to properties. Back then, you had to move fast. Everything was selling in hours, not days. People got programmed to thinking, if I don't buy this today, it's going to be gone tomorrow. But in 2025, it's not 2021. You've had time to analyze. You have time to negotiate. You have time to walk away. Just last month, I talked to an investor who visited a property five times. I said, so you're emotionally attached already. He said, but Palmy, it's such a great property. And I said, dude, it all boils down to the math. You're not marrying the property. You're buying a business. When you get emotionally attached, you start justifying bad numbers. You start saying things like, well, the cash flow is only $100 per month, but look at the beautiful lobby. The lobby doesn't pay your mortgage. Neither does your emotional attachment to the property. This is my biggest pet peeve. I cannot understand why someone would buy a property that's bleeding cash every month, crossing their fingers it will appreciate in value. That's not investing. That's gambling. Take a 200-unit apartment in Dallas that was bought by someone in 2022. The bet was simple. We'll make the money when value goes up 10% a year. But appreciation didn't come. 2 years later, the value is roughly flat, while expenses, anything but. Insurance doubled from $90,000 a year to nearly $180,000 a year. The property taxes jumped 20% as reassessment came in higher, adding overall $150,000 to the annual bill. Payroll and repairs and contract services climbed another 20 to 30% with wages and material inflation. What looked like a deal that would throw off a healthy cash flow now runs tens of thousands of dollars negative every month. Instead of real estate paying them, they're now paying out of pockets just to keep the property afloat. Stop the video right now and ask yourself, who taught you about real estate? Are they actually doing deals or are they selling courses? Most investors are still using 2022 underwriting assumptions in the 2025 market. They're projecting 3% interest rates when we're in a 7% world. But here's a deeper problem. They're treating real estate like stock, hoping for appreciation instead of building a business. Rich people understand that real estate is a business, not stocks. You don't buy and hold hoping it goes up. You buy, improve, operate, and create value. Stop learning from people who make money selling courses about real estate instead of making money from real estate. Category two, property selection mistakes. Now, let me talk to you about property selection because this is where even experienced investors are getting crushed in 2025. Here's something that would blow your mind. Most investors spend most of the time researching their next car purchase than they do researching a $100 million property investment. Most investors are buying properties without understanding the fundamental demographic shifts happening right now. They're not researching employment trends, population migration patterns, or supply pipelines. Here's an example. We were looking at a market in Nashville that looked pretty good on paper, growing population, job growth, rising rents. But when we dug deeper, we found 15,000 new apartment units that are being developed in the next 18 months in the market that typically can only absorb 3,000 units per month. That's a 5-year worth of supply hitting in 18 months. You have to understand where people are moving to and from. You have to know which employers are expanding or contracting. You have to know how much new supply is coming online. Right now, you're seeing a massive population shift. People are leaving expensive coastal cities for more affordable inland markets, but they're not just moving randomly. They're following jobs, they're following affordability, they're following quality of life. If you don't understand these patterns, you're going to buy in the wrong markets. This is why we only do multifamily. This is why we only buy A-class property. This is why we only work with serious investors. Now, we don't do this ourselves because we only buy A-class properties, but I think it warrants mentioning because this could be a very costly mistakes for others. When you're buying a property with deferred maintenance, you're not just buying the property, you're buying all the previous owner's problems. That $500,000 discount on the purchase price might turn into $2 million in unexpected repairs. Roofing, HVAC, plumbing, electrical, these are not small expenses. A new roof on a 200-unit property can cost $600,000 to $1 million plus. New HVAC systems can be $200,000 to $400,000. Again, we buy A-class properties, but I see too many investors thinking they'll be the reason bad properties become good ones. As Taylor Swift might say about bad relationships, I can make a bad boy good for the weekend. Unfortunately, this doesn't work for multifamily real estate. You can put lipstick on a pig, but it's still a pig. And that applies to both bad boyfriends and bad real estate deals. If the property is in a declining area with high crimes, bad schools, no job growth, your renovations aren't going to change the fundamentals. Don't think you're going to be the hero who turns around a fundamentally flawed asset. Buy good properties in good areas with good fundamentals. Just trust us on this. You'll thank us later. Category three, operational and management mistakes. This is where the rubber meets the road. You can buy the perfect property, but if you can't operate the property, you'll lose money. Most people would never understand this, but property management is where fortunes are made or lost in multifamily investing. You absolutely must have a reliable team, contractors, handyman, property managers, attorneys, accountants. But here's what most people miss. You need to match the property management company with both the property type and the specific area. A company that's good with luxury luxury high-rise might be terrible with workforce housing. A company that dominates in downtown might have no clue about suburban properties. A company that's excellent with single-family might be lost with multifamily. We had a property management company that was fantastic with our C-class properties. When we bought an A-class property, they were completely out of their element. They didn't understand the tenant profile, the maintenance issues, or the local market dynamics. We had to switch property management companies. You need different management approaches for different property types. For example, student housing requires 100% annual turnover management. Senior housing might be 30 to 40% turnover. The systems, the processes, and expertise required are completely different. This is a big one. Too many investors stick with underperforming property management companies because of existing relationships instead of performance. And we're absolutely guilty of this as well. Look, I know it sounds harsh, but I'd rather hurt your feelings right now than watch you lose your money later. That's just who we are. We're just telling you the truth, even when it's uncomfortable. If your property management isn't hitting occupancy targets, isn't controlling expenses, isn't maintaining the property properly, or isn't communicating effectively, you need to fire them. Don't let loyalty to a person destroy your investment returns. We track our property managers weekly on occupancy, rent growth, expense control, and tenant satisfaction. If they don't perform, they're gone. It's business, not personal. What do we mean by this? We hired a property management company because it was owned by a very good friend of ours. Our friend's a great guy, but the team that ran the property management company was rigid, never accommodating based on our needs, not responsive to changes needed. Overall, they were horrible at controlling the expense side. We kept them on for 6 months longer than we should have because of our relationship. Category 4, financial and leverage mistakes. This is where most investors get into serious trouble. They make poor financial assumptions and get the wrong loan structure. Here's something that most people don't realize. The difference between successful and failed real estate investors isn't the deal they buy, it's how they structure the financing. Most people are making three critical financial mistakes. First, they're using too much leverage. They're putting 5 to 10% down and financing 90 to 95% of the purchase price. When you're that leverage, everything has to go perfectly for the deal to work. Second, they under budget expenses. They use last year's expense numbers for next year's projections. Insurance costs have doubled in many markets. Property taxes are up 20 to 30%. Utilities, maintenance, payroll, everything is more expensive. Third, they don't have enough capital reserve. They're buying properties with minimal cash reserves, so unexpected expenses become a crisis. I know an investor who bought a 50-unit property with $100,000 in reserve capital. 6 months later, the roof started leaking, the HVAC system failed, and the city required a new fire suppression system. The total cost, $180,000. He had to sell the property at a loss because he couldn't fund the repairs. For us, we typically hold 6 to 12 months of operating expenses in reserves, plus additional capital for planned improvements. Most investors hold 2 to 3 months and wonder why they get into trouble. Too many investors don't pay attention to their loan fine prints, get loans that don't match their business plan timeline, or use bridge loans without clear exit plan. Bridge loans are particularly combustible right now. These are short-term high-interest loans designed to be paid off quickly through refinancing or sale. But with the higher interest rates and tighter lending standards, many investors are getting stuck with 12 to 15% bridge loans they can't refinance. We know a syndicator who used a bridge loan on 5 properties, planning to refinance into permanent financing within 2 years. When rates went up and the property value went down, he couldn't refinance. He's not paying 14% on a $50 million debt. The property can't service the debt, so he's having to inject capital every month or lose the property. The lesson? Match your loan term with your business plan. If you're planning a 5-year hold, get a 5-year loan or longer. Don't use 2-year bridge debt for a 5-year strategy. Category 5, education mistakes. First, let's talk about education and mindset mistakes that can keep people broke. Most people will not understand this level of thinking, but successful investors think completely different about education and mentorship. Most real estate gurus are teaching strategies from 2000 to 2022, not the strategies that is working in 2025. They're course sellers who happen to talk about real estate, not real estate investors who happen to teach. These gurus make their money selling new courses, not from real estate. A student came to us after spending $50,000 on a course from various gurus. He said, "Pommy, I had been to 5 different seminars, bought every course, and I'm still broke. What am I doing wrong?" I said, "You're trying to learn how to make money from people who make money selling courses, not from real estate. You're learning from people in the education business, not the real estate business. These gurus are teaching you to think small. Buy one house, maybe 2 or maybe 3. They'll never teach you how to think like we think. How to acquire 100 units, how to build a business that generates millions in revenue. The perfect deal can be purchased, but if poorly run, it'll sink the entire investment. You need to focus on people running investments, not just the properties themselves. When we're on the passive investment side, we spend more time vetting the operators than we do analyzing the deals. We want to know how many properties they've purchased, what's their track record, how do they handle problems, what systems do they have in place. A great operator can make an average deal successful. A bad operator can destroy a great deal. Here's a story. On the passive investment side, there was once we were looking to invest with a syndicator who on paper had the perfect location. great property, great numbers. But when we dug into their track record, we found that they never managed property larger than 50 units. And this was a 200 unit property. They had no systems, no experience, no team. We passed on the deal. 6 months later, we heard that they're already asking for capital calls. So now that you learn the five categories of mistakes to absolutely avoid, let's learn about the strategies that are working for us today. Strategy number one, focus on multifamily in recovering markets. We're targeting multifamily properties in markets that are just coming out of the recession phase. Construction is down, supply is being absorbed, and we're in the accumulation phase. But we're not just buying any multifamily. We're looking for properties where we can add value through operational improvements, not major capital expenditures. This is exactly why we only do multifamily. We understand the cycles, we know the operators, and we have systems to execute at scale. Strategy number two, buy A-class properties with operational upside. We only buy A-class properties in A-class locations, but we look for value-add opportunities through improving management and reducing expenses, optimizing rent rolls, and reducing vacancy, adding income streams like storage, parking, laundry, implement technology to improve operations. Most people will never understand this, but A-class property in A-class locations give you the most control over your own destiny. You're not fighting market fundamentals. You're optimizing with strong fundamentals. Strategy number three, use conservative underwriting. We stress test every single deal, 8 to 10% vacancy, even in 5% vacancy markets. 3% expense increases over 5 years. Make sure our exit cap rate is at least 50 to 100 basis points over the entry cap rate. If the deal doesn't work in these stress test scenarios, we don't buy it. Here's something that will blow your mind. Most investors underwrite for the best case scenario. We underwrite for worst case scenario and still require the deal to work. Strategy number four, build systems, not portfolios. We're not just buying properties, but building systems, deal sourcing, acquisitions, property management and operations, asset management and optimization, investor relations and capital raising, disposition and exit strategies. This is why we only work with investors who understand that real estate is a business, not a hobby. If you're still thinking like a hobbyist, this probably isn't for you. Look, if you're serious about building real wealth in real estate, you can't do it with outdated strategies and poverty programming that's been installed in your mind since childhood. The landscape has changed so dramatically that what worked even 2 years ago will get you killed today. But here's the thing, while everyone else is paralyzed by uncertainty, we're actively seeking to buy hundreds of millions of dollars in properties because we understand we're in the accumulation phase. You have a choice to make right now. You can keep doing what you've been doing, follow outdated grooves, make emotional decisions, buy negative cash flow deals, ignore market fundamentals, and you'll keep getting the same results. Or you can make a decision, not a choice, but a decision to learn from people who are actually in the field, dealing with these challenges every single day and building real wealth in real time. Our investors don't just make money. They become part of an exclusive group that thinking differently about wealth building. They stop following the crowd and start following proven systems. We only work with investors who understand that real estate is a business, not a hobby. Right now, while others are sitting on the sidelines, we're seeing opportunities that we haven't seen since 2008 to 2010. Distressed properties, motivated sellers, favorable financing for qualified buyers, and demographic shifts that are creating sustained rental demand. But you have to know what you're doing. You have to avoid these critical mistakes. You have to think systematically, not emotionally. Remember what I said at the beginning? People will never behave consistently in a way that's inconsistent with their programming. If your programming says, think small, stay safe, follow the crowd, that's exactly what you'll do. But if you reprogram yourself to think like a wealthy person, to see opportunities where others see problems, to build systems where others see jobs, to create value where others consume it, then you'll start behaving like a wealthy person. And when you behave like a wealthy person consistently over time, you'll become a wealthy person. Some will, some won't. So what? Someone's waiting. The question is, are you going to be the one breaking free from the poverty programming and outdated thinking? Or are you going to stay stuck making the same mistakes that are keeping people broke? Are you going to keep learning from talking heads who chase views? Or are you going to learn from people who are actually building wealth in real estate? Most people will never understand this level of thinking, but you're not most people, are you?
We can't wait to begin this journey with you. Check us out at thekittysisters.com/podcast.